It's time to work out on a Sunday morning. In my case, that involves heavy lifting of a coffee cup. I hope all this information we're about to deliver can work out well for you.
Oh yeah, one by one. Let me see you move to the beat of the drum. It's that tune that I know you want to hum. Set it off right, make a man go
A little bit to add to all the studies we're presented with about exercising, and we're going to talk about a trick, well, a technique, shouldn't say a trick, to lower high blood pressure. It's very common. 70% of Americans have it at some point in their lives. I couldn't ferret out the New Zealand stats. But first, if you have no time to exercise during the week, a commonly heard complaint, then if you do it at the weekend, it's pretty much as good. This is in the journal Obesity. It's research from the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences. And it's not the only study to have suggested this, even though this idea has been contested for a while. And of course, ideally, you'll move your body quite a bit every day. Quoting from the Times of London, previous research has found that both weekend warriors and those who spread their activity out more evenly enjoy a similar reduction in death risk over a 10-year period and in the risk of heart attack and stroke over 5 years. And that may encourage some of the 1 in 7 people in the world now who are officially obese, as we found out yesterday. And other useful exercise news, a study published in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology looked at data from nearly 500,000 people. Women who exercise regularly have a significantly lower risk of an early death from heart attacks or other events compared with men, even when they put in less effort. Both sexes benefit, but women benefit by 24% and men only 15%. And those percentages actually don't sound that impressive. But the women did have a 36% and more than one third reduced risk for a fatal heart attack or stroke. Men, again, only a 14% reduced risk. And other wonderful news, by the way, for nearly all of us, exercise benefits cease after 5 hours worth a week in this study. So the rest is icing on the cake, and you can quite happily leave the icing off the cake. Now, a few words on high blood pressure, which is when the pressure of your blood on your artery walls is up abnormally, potentially causing artery damage and health problems over the long term. I'm sure you know this. Research published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine recommends squats, strongly recommends them, actually, over other forms of exercise. Dr. Jim Wiles is a senior lecturer at Canterbury Christchurch University in the UK. Good evening, Jim. Good morning from us.
A good morning to you too, Jim, and a good morning to all of your listeners.
Isometric exercises are best for lowering blood pressure. For people who don't know what isometric means, Jim, can you explain?
Yes, of course. An isometric muscle contraction occurs when tension is developed in the muscle, but there's no change in the muscle length. So basically, going to the shops and carrying two heavy shopping bags at arm's length. So the muscles would be contracting isometrically in your forearms and your shoulders to carry those bags without any movement, just hanging at arm's length. A wall sit or wall squat, as we call it, would be an example of an isometric exercise.
Okay, and what will the wall squats do, squatting down against a wall, what will they do for blood pressure? Why should they be superior to other more aerobic, you know, general kinds of activity for bringing blood pressure down, Jim?
We've just published last year a big sort of synthesis of all the research in the area, which demonstrates that isometric exercise comes out top. With isometric exercise, then, we have a constant force in the muscle that basically physically restricts blood flow and obviously oxygen delivery over a sustained period of time. And we normally perform 2-minute bouts of isometric exercise. So what then happens is, as the muscle oxygen levels drop, our brain desperately tries to send more blood to the muscle to stop it fatiguing. However, the blood delivery is obstructed, like, for example, water trying to flow through a flattened hose pipe. So as soon as the isometric exercise or the isometric contraction ends, not only is the restriction released, like the hose pipe becoming whole again and being able to, the water being able to flow through it, but our bodies are very clever and the blood vessels actively widen, allowing a big rush of blood to the area that's been exercising to help it recover. And since we've only got a certain amount of blood in our bodies, suddenly sending more of it to a large area like the legs in the case of the wall squat causes a transient or short-term drop in our blood pressure. And that sequence of events that I've just explained is uniquely exaggerated in isometric exercise. It occurs in other types of exercise, but it's exaggerated in isometric exercise. And when that sequence of events is repeated regularly, it's thought to act as an optimal stimulus for long-term blood pressure reduction.
Very well explained. So the transient benefit becomes longer term.
Yes, we believe so. Yes, we believe so.
So you're talking about doing it to the legs. Would you get a lesser version actually carrying those shopping bags home from the supermarket?
Well, interestingly, Jim, some of the first research in this area was based around observations of people who performed isometric components to their jobs. And it was observed that those people with a high isometric component in their daily work had less incidence of hypertension. And that really is where all of this work stems from. But what we want is a systematic exercise that we know when it's performed over a certain period of time at a certain difficulty level will reduce our blood pressures.
For older people listening, how far down do you have to go in the squat, please?
That's a very good question, Jim. I've noticed in a lot of the press articles just recently that they state that you should go down to 90 degrees. And that is definitely not the case, Jim. And what we recommend is that people just lean in against the wall in an upright position. And then if you imagine sinking down to a knee angle of 90 degrees or seated position, if your listeners squat to halfway between being upright and 90 degrees, i.e. approximately 135 degrees, and then the little plus bit is just that you then just drop just enough to make it uncomfortable, Jim. So probably about 2 centimetres more. And it's that little 2 centimetre extra drop, the halfway plus, that makes the difference and gets you at about the right height.
Dr. Jim Wiles is talking to us from Canterbury Christchurch University in the UK. Thanks for the clarity of that explanation. So this is ideal for people who have no hope, or actually, in many cases, no intention, to be honest, of making the 150 minutes per week guidelines for good health. This is ideal for people who can't, also the people who can't manage that. They'll get a blood pressure reduction from doing just this.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will, Jen. If a person with high blood pressure is not currently exercising, which obviously we wouldn't recommend, but if they're not, and I appreciate that many people can't find time to do so or don't want to do so or indeed may not be able to do so, then if they don't intend to follow current guidelines, then isometric exercise may provide a viable solution to that that problem. 24 minutes of exercise a week in total, Jim. That's a total of 24 minutes. If you compare that against most national guidelines of 150 minutes of a moderate difficulty or intensity of aerobic exercise, along with most of the guidelines are now saying that you should also do 2 sessions of resistance training, traditional sort of weight training for strength purposes, I think you can appreciate there's a huge difference between those two amounts of time investment. So when we've looked at unmedicated pre-hypertensive, that's the people who are heading towards having clinically high blood pressure, we've seen reductions of 12 millimetres of mercury systolic and 6 millimetres of mercury diastolic following about 4 weeks of training. So significant reductions that are arguably even better than monotherapy and drugs, but without the potential side effects.
Yeah, that sounds like a decent drop. All right. I'm thinking of someone sitting at a desk all day, like I'm sitting down talking to you. Might tensing and relaxing other muscles or muscle groups achieve any sort of reduction in blood pressure if you sat there and actually kept a muscle tight for some time?
So I guess my answer to that, Jim, would be that if someone's sitting at a desk all day, and again, sadly, many of us do nowadays, and more so, we end up stuck at our desks. Yes, that the tensing of muscles does have the capacity to reduce resting blood pressure. But again, it's a bit arbitrary. So my argument would be, Jim, that if I was in an office all day, what is stopping you from finding a wall, a stable wall, and squatting against it with an evidence-based protocol? Why would you use anything different than that? Because you don't need to get changed for it. All you need is a stable wall with a bit of space enough to fit your back against it, and then basically you need to a non-slip floor or non-slip shoes, and nothing else other than that to be able to perform a squat.
That is hard to argue with that argument, Dr. Jim Wiles.
I'm hoping so, Jim.
For further information, although I must say you've just about explained everything, but for further information, people can go online, can't they?
Yes, they can. To be prescribed by ascertaining your own wall squat height using what we call perceived exertion, Jim. And perceived exertion is how you feel as an individual. And we've demonstrated that how people feel during exercise very accurately reflects the physiological responses that we get. So essentially, we've been able to replicate our reductions in resting blood pressure that we saw with a more laboratory-based, complicated protocol by using this simple protocol. And if people want to access that paper, as I said, it's free to access. All they need to do is Google something like wall squat intervention using ratings of perceived exertion. So that's wall squat intervention using ratings of perceived exertion. If you Google that, you should come up with our paper, which is published in the European Journal of Applied Physiology.
Brilliant. Dr. Jim Wiles, thank you so much for all that explanation, very ably delivered, and also for giving us your time to talk about this. It's a bit of a game changer in terms of people's awareness now, I think.
Yes, I'm really hoping so, Jim. I mean, we are hoping to provide people with an alternative to antihypertensive medication, really. There are, sadly, more and more people who are suffering with hypertension. I believe worldwide it's about 1 in 4 adults. And you guys are quite lucky, because I looked at your stats the other day and I think you're 1 in 5. So you must be doing something right in New Zealand. But even 1 in 5 people suffering from high blood pressure, we know that it significantly increases the risk of cardiovascular disease, leading to heart attack, stroke, etc., and basically increases the risk of atherosclerosis, which is the buildup of fatty plaques in the walls of our arteries, which restricts blood flow, and basically increased blood pressure, it speeds that process up. And we know that that then leads to cardiovascular disease, which is a leading cause of death worldwide. And we know that 1 in 21 adults, or adult New Zealanders, are affected by cardiovascular disease. So if talking to you today helps provide any of your people with an opportunity to avoid that, it's time well spent on my behalf.
Very nicely said. Well, thank you for your time, Jim, and all the best with your research.
Thank you very much for your time as well, Jim. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. And the correct wall squat technique, Jim, is that we would stand upright with your back against the wall, feet parallel and shoulder width apart, and your hands relaxed down by your sides. And then what you do then is you lower your back down the wall whilst gradually just shuffling your feet forwards to ensure that you squat down the wall and that your foot position remains comfortable. And then you try to ensure that you keep your lower legs vertical and your trunk upright. So we've got that nice seated position with our back upright against the wall. And then when you've completed the 2 minutes or as long as you can, because some people may need to build up to their 2 minutes or are approaching a point when you can't continue, then you just push your hands backwards into the wall and slide your back upwards whilst using small steps to step back towards the wall. If you need the chair at that point to support you to help you up, then that's fine. But there's just two safety points I just want to say. First of all, if you're in any doubt about your physical fitness or your blood pressure status, then you should consult with a medical professional just to get those checked and get the all clear. And secondly, I know it sounds a bit silly to maybe to some of you, but remember to breathe while you're doing the wall squat. It's very, very easy to stop breathing and hold your breath whilst you're doing the any strength type exercise. And if we do that, then our blood pressure does rise a little bit too high. So we just remember to breathe whilst you're performing the squat.
Very good. And remembering to breathe, of course, is the best life health advice of all,
Yes.
especially in this context. Jim, thank you very much for your time.
Jim, it's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you to your listeners.